Alvie! Alvie had a moment. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. I'm Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home, and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. A tremendous Wednesday to you. You know I love Wednesdays. Not as much as Perv loves Wednesdays. Happy hump day, Perv. I love Wednesdays, though, because we have so much to get done. Lots of program for you, so let's get it started. I've got two interviews, and they start at 9:40, and they're back-to-back. Then I've got the all-important What's Your Beef segment, so if you're wondering about that, if you want a beef, do it in the middle of hour number two, 10:40 Pacific time. If you want a beef by phone, do it, 1-800-636-8686. If you'd rather beef on social media, that works too. Hit me up at Jim Rome, and if you want to email me a beef, do it now. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. We take them early in the program to make sure we are ready to roll when it comes time to actually beef. In terms of the interviews, I've got Pat Narduzzi, the head football coach of Pittsburgh, joining me at 9:40. We're still talking App State football. Appalachian State's had an amazing start to their year, and their Hail Mary is still quite a buzz, even midweek. So their quarterback, Chase Bryce, joins me at 10 o'clock. So back-to-back interviews, 9:40, 10 o'clock, and then the beef segment coming up at 10:40. ATP coming up in hour number three. It's a Wednesday, so we're going to push out an episode of the Jim Rome Podcast, episode 236. Do you feel me? We're doing this show every single day. We're doing podcasts every single day. We're pushing content every single day. Chris Long is my guest. It's a really good episode. How do I know? I've already done it. So that's coming up later on today. And he and I talk about the start of the NFL season. Thank you, Alvie. It's true. No days off. Now more than ever. Not only do we talk NFL season, he and I talk gambling. We're talking a lot of gambling lately, which reminds me, episode 3 already of Jim Rome's Big Head Bets drops tomorrow. So if you want to get down, and everybody does like to get down, check out Chris Long first, and then the Big Head Night tomorrow. Phone lines are open. It's been a good phone line week. One segment at a time. One phone call at a time. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Man, so much football. Best time of year. So much football. So much football that's not where I'm going to start today. Let me start with this. Now, I've learned a ton through the first 52 episodes of The Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. Yeah, it sounds like another shill for another one of my podcasts. It's because it is. However, I've learned a lot doing that podcast. You know, it's the side hustle to my side hustle, my passion project podcast. But one of the things that nearly every single guest on that program has said to me in one form or another is the need to bet on yourself. Bet on yourself. This is what winners do. This is what successful people do. And most importantly, this is what Aaron Judge did. I'm not sure there's ever been a better or more pure example of betting on yourself than what this guy did. In fact, I'm pretty certain there hasn't. I'm pretty certain that Aaron Judge just set the bar and the standard for what it means to bet on yourself and then hit the bleeping jackpot. I mean, this dude did tell the Yankees to take their absurd, lowball, cheap-ass, frankly, offensive extension offer and shove it. And then 6 months later, he is sitting on 60 home runs.
Here's the 3-1. Swung on that. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. He's tied the Babe. It's a Judgian blast. His 60th home run of the year. Wow. All right. Here comes the Judge.
I mean, I'm totally serious when I say this. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen.
I mean, tell me, what's more fitting than that? That's perfect. Oh my goodness gracious. Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen. He tied the ball, the babe, 60. Oh my goodness gracious. Of all the dramatic things. He tied the babe at 60. He might as well add another 60 mil to that contract offer too. I'm telling you, I think everybody has to admit, Judge blasting number 60 in a left field at Yankee Stadium to tie the Babe is a pretty freaking epic thing. I mean, in a vacuum, on its face, if you're a Yankee fan or even the biggest Yankee hater, how can you not recognize how amazing that is? It's incredible. And that's before you even consider that it kicked off a Yankee comeback from four runs down in the bottom of the ninth. So once again, not only is he doing this in a contract year, not only is he doing this after they lowballed him, but almost every single one of those bombs counts and matters and helps them. He's the reason they are where they are. And by the end of the night, he didn't just have, this is the incredible thing about this guy, he didn't just have 60. He also had the American League lead in all three Triple Crown categories. You want to bleep you to the organization? You imagine lowballing a guy only to see him go out and win the Triple Crown? It's incredible. He currently leads the American League in home runs, batting average, RBI, runs, total bases, walks, slugging percentage, on-base percentage, OPS, wins above replacement. I'm sure there's more, but I've got to stop somewhere. But you get the point, right? The dude essentially leads the league in everything. I mean, we are so far beyond the point where I don't understand why anybody still throws this guy anything to hit ever. But seriously, why are any of you pitching to this guy at all? Don't get me wrong. I'm glad all these teams are this stupid because the home run chase is pretty mesmerizing. But I'm still confused as to why this guy ever gets even a single pitch to hit. Not only is he literally having one of the best seasons in the long history of the sport, he is on an all-time September heater right now. Check these numbers. Dude's batting .475 this month. With nine bombs, his on-base percentage this month is .573. Hell, the Babe himself would be peeing down his leg at the sight of those fat numbers. It's ludicrous, honestly. The only thing more absurd than this dude's heater and the one he's on is the fact that the people keep throwing him anything to hit. I mean, if the guy can see it, he's going to turn it around. If the guy can see it, he's going to square it up. And why? Again, I have no idea why. I'm just thankful they are that stupid. Another thing I do not understand. How the hell the Yankee brass botched this dude's contract so epically. Yes, we've talked about it, but we have not talked about it enough because this guy is still coming out of his cleats and turning everything around 600 feet. How do you not take care of this guy? What more did this guy have to prove? Why now are you fiscally responsible? It's not like this dude wasn't already the consummate Yankee. Homegrown, class act, no drama, incredibly consistent. And yet somehow, some way, Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman decided to offer this dude, and this I can never get my head around, they decided to offer this cat nearly 130 mil less than the little bro that the Mets offered Francisco Lindor. Yeah, I know. Aaron Judge is really tall, and those guys don't age well. That contract won't age well. He's like 8'7". Yeah, okay. Think about how absurd that is. To quote another New York City icon, because they're just falling out of the trees today. It just doesn't make any sense. And neither does, I'll tell you what really doesn't make any sense. You want to know something that really doesn't make any sense? Their explanation that they, quote, offered him the highest position player contract in the history of the Yankees. And don't you come at me with, yeah, Rome, you've already said that. You know, I'm going to keep saying that. because that is one of the most offensive things ever. Yeah, but we offered him the highest contract of any position player in the history of the Yankees. And? So what? Not only does that not make any sense, that doesn't mean a damn thing. You're not negotiating with Yankee history. You're negotiating with A, the current market, and B, a current Yankee icon. It is such a BS excuse because the reality is they didn't even offer him more than they offered a teammate. You know, the teammate who responded like this when asked if he has ever cheated.
I don't know. I don't know if
Chris D'Ali.
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
Val Kilmer.
I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players, and
Kirstie Alley.
You know, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard, and
spit it out, dude.
Stood pretty firm in terms of that.
Yeah, and because he's done so well since he got caught. That guy got 9 years and $324 million, as in over $100 million more than they put on the table for Judge this offseason. So he just showed the very best example ever of betting on yourself. And the Yankees just showed the very best example ever of being dumb and cheap and having it come back to bite you in the ass. As I mentioned, why now? Why now is the time to be fiscally responsible? You imagine the Yankee brass cringing through every last one of those 60 bombs this year. I can only hope they cringe a few more times. Oh, and maybe they should take a hint on how much their star means to a Yankee fan, right? How about that 20-year-old Yankee fan who snagged number 60, which could be worth up to an estimated $500,000 or more? And do you know what that guy did? This 20-year-old. He handed the ball back to the Yankees and Judge. Because unlike the Yankee brass, this young man gets it.
If you met Aaron Judge, what would you say to him?
I don't know. I'd just try anything to come back next year. Help the heart and soul of the ball club.
Wait. Before you go, do you have any expectations about catching the ball and receiving something in return?
No, just wanted to give him back his testimony, so any way I could give back to Judge, given so much to the organization, just do my part.
I mean, let me ask you, because I know what some of you are thinking. In fact, I know what all of you are thinking. Is that not the best guy ever, or is that the dumbest guy ever? And can you be both? I mean, that guy just cost himself probably $500,000. But what a legend. What a class act. He's like, I love Aaron Judge. I just want to thank him for everything he's done for this organization. Yeah, dude, but you're not a part of the organization. You're a 20-year-old guy holding a lottery ticket. The organization should be thanking the guy for everything he's done for the organization. Not the 20-year-old rando who showed up at a baseball game and somebody put a lottery ticket in his hand. So you tell me, is that the best guy ever or the dumbest guy ever or both? And I can't imagine this guy giving the ball back because he wants to thank Aaron for everything he did for the organization when he's not a part of the organization, and then the organization won't do a damn thing to thank him for what he's done for the organization.
Given so much to the organization.
Yeah, but not to you, Broham. You were sitting on your retirement plan. You were sitting on your kids' college education. You are a legend. Or pretty dumb. Depending on your point of view. I could argue either side, honestly. I just know that a jersey and a few tickets is not going to make up for that. But then again, how do you not love that? A 20-year-old fan who gets it more than the organization does. My man, one word of advice. Next time you snag a historic home run in Yankee Stadium, and who's to say there ever will be a next time? I mean, that was a moment in time, Broham. Next time, especially if the organization is going to treat that guy that way, why should you treat him any differently? I mean, doing the right thing is never the wrong thing. You can quote me on that. I just made that up. Doing the right thing is never the wrong thing. But my man, next time, the right thing is to hold that son of a bitch ransom. And you start that negotiation with those cheap-ass Yankees at a cool mill. And season tickets for life. You play hardball with those clowns because they play hardball with your hero, Aaron Judge. And Judge, work them. For life. You know, I'm trying to, like, personalize this. What if it were me? What if it were my family? What if it were one of my boys? What if it was Jake? What if it was Logan? What if Logan caught that ball? I'd be so proud about how selfless he is, how Dodger Jano and I raised such a great young man who thinks of others more than himself. And then when he returned home from that game, I'd make damn sure that everything he owned was packed up in a box by the door.
Pack your bags.
Dad, why is all my stuff empty and all of it in boxes on a U-Haul truck? Well, I don't want to give a mixed message here, Rogues. I am extremely proud of what you did. Having said that, do not let that door hit you in the ass on your way out. Go live with Uncle Aaron. I mean, again, how screwed are the Yankees? Can you imagine? Now they've got to sit down with this guy and lie to him and tell him how much he means to them. And they've got to sit down and hand him a blank check, which is not going to be enough, right? Can you imagine how that boardroom meeting is going to look? Cash slides over a blank check. Judge's agent looks at the blank check, shows it to Aaron. They both laugh their asses off. Cash is like, Aaron, I could see how you might be a little put off. You know what, my man? Big dude, write whatever amount you want on that piece of paper. And he's just going to go, Cash, you know what? Still not enough. A blank check's not enough. The agent will say, first off, Mr. Judge would like Yankee Stadium to be changed to Judge Field. In fact, change everything. Now, going forward, you are the New York Judges.
Here comes the Judge.
Judges. In pinstripes. I mean, damn, Yankee fan. Giving that ball back for peanuts. I mean, I started off thinking you were the best guy in the history of the world. And now I'm thinking, well, not that. Like, why are you going to be that great of a guy when the organization doesn't treat that guy with that kind of respect? Yeah, I know. You're better than the organization. But what's that going to get you? I hate to be this guy. I hate to be this. Wait for it. Here comes a big word. Venal. Look it up. That guy just left a half a mil on the table. Just like the Yankees cost themselves probably a quarter of a bill. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. JT is strong.
Unbelievable.
All right, so you know it's big if in the middle of football season we are leading with that midweek. Judge is incredible. You know, the 60 is a big, big number. And so is a half mil. But 60 is a big, big number. And honestly, my favorite thing about it, not only is my favorite thing that he jammed it up their backside, my favorite thing is just the way the guy's done it, the way he carries himself, like all class. All class, no drama, no dignity, no revenge tour. The consummate Yankee pro. Homegrown, wants to be there, putting up numbers. And when it looked like the entire season was going to hell, he kept it all together for him. And now this. And even the fans get it. The kid gave back the ball.
Given so much to the organization.
What a line. You imagine? Why is it not Cash saying that? Why is it not Randy Levine saying that? Why is it not Hal saying that? It's some rando talking about how much he's giving back to the organization.
Get back to Judge.
You know what the biggest question of all is? Why the hell do I care so much? Why is this pissing me off? What do I care? I'm Dodger Jim. Married to Dodger Jano. 1-800-636-8686. Phone lines are open. Use them. And if not for that, use them for the beef segment. Some other topics today. I want to talk about the team formerly known as America's Team, and now they're not that. The Browns, and why they're in the news. This guy skated yesterday, but I've got thoughts on Coach Ritt. What an absolute disaster. And if you want to talk about, since we hyped up two of the best teams in the NFL, we could talk about the teams that are amongst the most disappointing so far. And right near the top of that list, the Colts. What a mess they are. And yes, I'm well aware that LeBron finally shaved his dome. And for some reason, LeBron Nation thinks that's a sign and an omen. And look the hell out, he's going to have his best year ever. Yet that, or it's some ploy, some lame, cheesy ploy to try to salvage a movie franchise that he already wrecked. It better not be that. It better not be any of that. It better just be something that he did that he should have done a few years back. All right, so all of that and a whole lot more. And did I mention a beef segment? That's coming up at 10:40 or the middle of the program. NFL action is in full swing at DraftKings Sportsbook. It is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. Plus, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts bigger than ever, why would you bet on football anyplace else? This is where I go. I love them. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code ROME. Get $200 in free bets if your team wins. When you place a $5 bet on any football game, code ROME only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You do have to be present in the state where lawful to wager. 21 or older in most eligible states, but age does vary by jurisdiction. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Bonus issued as free bets. One boost per eligible game. 10-plus leg required for 100% boost. Opt-in required. Deposit, parlay, and wagering restrictions do apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms. And, Alvy, the Big Head and I, Episode 3 of Jim Rome's Big Head Bets tomorrow. And that is sponsored by DraftKings.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Check engine light on. Do not ignore it. If so, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let their professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. They will retrieve the codes, discuss possible solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if necessary for check engine light diagnosis and repair advice or the right tools and repair parts. Get everything you need from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts, the professional parts people you know you can trust. All right, so really quickly, I've gotten in this habit. I don't know why. I think I'm just fired up every single day. Fired up for the opening segment, and the opening segment is just going longer and longer and longer and longer, which means the second segment is shorter and shorter and shorter. But because I'm fired up, what can I tell you? I'm fired up to be here every single day. Crack open the mic, and it just all comes out. So what that means to you is, while I'm bringing this up, I've got back-to-back interviews coming up. I've got Pat Narduzzi, Pittsburgh head football coach, Chase Price at the top of the hour, so back-to-back. And then at 10:40, the beef segment. So you should start lining up your beefs on the phones, on social, and on email as well. Really quickly, some jungle reaction. Dear Jim, I think I'm going to be a Beantown fan next year, hoping the Judge gets offered and accepts a contract from Boston. Cashman should be crapping his drawers right about now. Tony in Richmond. I'm telling you. I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it? They should just sell him. Just sell him over there. Or better yet, even let him walk and get nothing in return. It's one thing for you to say, we made a strategic, tactical decision, and it was the wrong one. It came back to bite us. Man, but don't you tell me that, yeah, well, we made him the highest contract offer of any position player in Yankee history and expect anybody to go, oh, they tried. They did. They tried. It's such a garbage excuse. When you're paying Gerrit Cole so much more money. When Lindor across town is making so much more money. I don't want to hear about we made the highest contract offer to a position player in franchise history. Look at the market value and then look at what this guy did. He went out, proved it, and he had nothing to prove anyway, but did so and did it with class and dignity. And by the way, didn't do it for a crappy team. Did it for a team that was crapping the bed and about to choke and kept them in it. And did and said all the right things like he always has. Hey, Jim, you may think that young man is a hero, but we all know what Deacon Jones would say. War giving that dude a full-on head slap. Craig, in the Blue Water area.
Head slap.
I understand. I understand that probably 98% of you don't think there's anything admirable about this at all. I don't know. I understand that it's not practical. I understand that it doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense. But how do you not respect a young guy like that? Unless he's some kind of heir to some throne or heir to some fortune, I'm guessing that guy doesn't have a lot of money in the bank. And he was willing to just turn that ball over. And why? Loyalty to a player he loves? Loyalty to an organization he has nothing to do with?
Give back to Judge, giving so much to the organization.
You know, whenever somebody says it's not about the money, it's about the one thing, the money. This is the one guy who can say it's not about the money. He didn't take the money. How many people listening right now, nationally and internationally, would do what that young guy did? I have a guess. I have a theory. None. Nobody.
Zero.
Zero, zero, zero. There's not a damn person listening right now that would do what that guy just did. But he did. For real. What's he have to show for it? He gave the ball right back to them. Never mind that he lost a half a mil, arguably, in the process. Could have lost his life in the scramble for that ball. And for what? What's he getting in return? A cap? A bag of peanuts? A photo? And for who? For what? Oh, and the knowledge that he did the right thing. I respect it. I'm just not saying it's the right thing, but I respect it. But I am willing to guess that there's not a single person out of the millions listening and watching right now that would have done the same thing. And I'm sorry, but I can't get over this notion that I did it because of what he's meant to the organization when the organization doesn't give a damn about what he's meant to the organization. A guy who's got nothing to do with the organization did one of the most incredible things ever, quote, for the organization.
She's given so much to the organization.
Why is that not Cash saying that with a contract offer? Why is that not Hal saying that with a contract offer? Why is that not Randy Levine saying that with a contract offer? Why is this some random fan? And if you're thinking to yourself, yeah, Rome, we get it. You said that last segment. You know what? I'm going to say it again next segment. I'm going to say it for the next 3 hours. I'm going to try and talk Pittsburgh football with Pat Narduzzi, but I'm afraid that I'm going to come off the rails and go, hey, Pat, what do you make of that situation with Aaron Judge and that 20-year-old that caught home run number 60 and just turned the ball right over? Because, quote, Aaron has done so much for the organization.
Given so much to the organization.
I mean, absolutely incredible. When we return. Now, so I'm not, here's what I'm not doing. I'm not going to crack this guy for doing that like a lot of you are and saying, hero, he's the dumbest guy ever. I'm not saying that. I'm saying he did the wrong thing. Because why would you reward or support what a guy's done for the organization when the organization won't do it? But I'm not going to crack the guy. He literally left a half a mil on the table. It's amazing. I wouldn't have. And you know damn well you wouldn't have. So Pat Narduzzi is coming up next. But first, here's your sport.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Rolling through hour number one in Southern California. I'm Jim Rome. We're going back-to-back right now. Coming up the top of the hour, App State quarterback Chase Brice. Coming up right this second, however, we are joined by the head football coach of Pittsburgh, 55-38 overall in eight seasons there. ACC champs this past season. They are 2-1. They won 34-13 at Western Michigan last week. They are hosting Rhode Island Saturday. Pat Narduzzi is my guest. Pat, it is great to have you back on the show. First things first, Pat, how are you personally and overall? How are you feeling about that team as you get ready to take on Rhode Island Saturday?
I appreciate it, Jim. I'm doing great. You know, it gets me cranked up to, you know, welcome to the jungle, Jim Rome Show, the whole deal. I'm excited. Everything's great here in Pittsburgh. I wish we were 3-0 instead of 2-1. Had some quarterbacks get banged up against Tennessee, and I think it would have been a different story had, you know, our starter been in there the whole game. But that's how the ball rolls sometime. But I think we got a good football team here, and I'm looking forward to watching our guys compete this weekend, and then the following weekend get into the ACC.
See, that's the Pat Narduzzi energy and intensity that I know. You talked about your quarterbacks being banged up, so why don't we start right there, if you don't mind. You know, as you know, I'm here in Southern California, so I've seen quite a bit of quarterback Keaton Slovis. And when he put up big numbers at USC, he did get hurt. He missed that Western Michigan game, as did his backup, Nick Patty. So how pleased were you with the way your redshirt freshman, Nate Yarnell, handled himself in his first game, Pat, of organized ball in about 3 years?
Yeah, it's his first organized game in 3 years. It's the first time he'd actually run our offense ever. He was a guy, Jim, you know, reading scout cards. You know, I mean, he was running, you know, Tennessee's offense, West Virginia's offense for 2 weeks prior to the opener. And so he's our scout quarterback, and, you know, was thrown into the starting duties last week and had to compete to win it as well. You know, he's just a kind of a, you know, just kind of just a relaxed, calm character. And I was really, really impressed with the way he handled the whole thing. And we didn't keep it that simple. I mean, he had a lot of run checks that we had to take care of. We didn't go in thinking we were going to throw it 50 times. We didn't want to do that to him or the team. And, you know, we managed the game great as a staff. And, you know, so credit to the offense staff of a great game plan. And he executed it.
I was going to say, credit to all of that, and credit to the kid for handling himself the way he did. It's amazing. You know, you discussed it previously, Pat, but for those who do not know the story about Yarnell, he missed his entire senior season in high school due to injury. What happened to him, and then what led you and your staff to recruit him?
Yeah, we, you know, obviously, well, you know, nowadays most kids, if they don't play the senior year, they're still recruited and offered and committed. But, you know, you're recruiting guys off of junior tape. So he was committed to us even before he stepped into his senior year. So he had hurt a thumb. Okay. He's a tough guy. He's a competitor, obviously. He's smart. But he wasn't smart enough not to get in a fight with a linebacker at practice. So that's how he hurt his thumb. Right. So that cost him, you know, most of his senior year. So we got a linebacker type, you know, personality playing quarterback for us.
I'm kind of laughing. It's not funny. Like, not smart enough not to get into a fight with a linebacker, but tough enough to get into a fight with a linebacker. So you probably like that part of it.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know. You know, I never found out did he win or lose either. I don't know if I ever asked that question. I was worried about his darn thumb. I wasn't worried about whether he won or lost. I got to go ask that question here when I see him tomorrow morning for practice.
Yeah, let's find that out, too. Pat Narduzzi is joining us. So, Pat, what about Slovis? He was clear to play last week. You held him out. I don't suspect you're going to tell me who's going to start against against Rhode Island. But is Slovis back to 100% yet? And have you made the decision internally who's going to get the start Saturday?
Yeah, Slovis is ready to go. Again, he could have gone last week. It was just too soon for me. I just wanted to make sure he was healthy. What I didn't want to do, Jim, and again, the trainers and doctors cleared him, is have him come back so soon that, you know, he got nicked up again. I said, you know what, we're gonna tough this one out. We're going to go up there, win on the road with some adversity. I want to see how our guys react to it, and they did a hell of a job. So I prepared our team, even though, you know, he's cleared on Tuesday, you know, first team meeting of the week. Our first practice of the week is Tuesday. I said, listen, we're going with our third-team guy. That stays in here, or fourth-team guy, whatever you want to call him. We're not playing with our starter or backup, and, you know, we're gonna figure it out, and we're gonna deal with it. So that's kind of what we did.
Pat Narduzzi is my guest. So, Pat, what about Slovis? What has he brought to your team, both on and off the field, since he transferred in?
Yeah, he's a great quarterback. You know, I really do compare him to a Kenny Pickett-type guy. The difference between him and Kenny is he's got more patience in the pocket. And sometimes, you know, nowadays Kenny would have taken off running and not got hit. He's got, you know, a lot of, you know, I guess it's courage in the pocket. He's going to hang in there and take a hit and throw the ball. So that's what I love about him. But at times you got to get out of there and save yourself sometimes. And he's got to do a better job with the protections and making sure that it gets turned. To help him out when he sees it, if the offensive line doesn't do that. So I love him. I think he's a great competitor. I think he's a great leader. I think he's very accurate, like Kenny was. And he's got NFL ability.
All right, so Pat, since you mentioned Pickett, it's not your situation. You've got plenty of on your own plate. You got plenty to worry about with your own program. But you got to be watching Pickett from afar. Do you think, and I'm not asking you to say anything negative about Mitch Trubisky, but just in a vacuum, do you think Pickett is ready to play and start in the NFL right now, or would that be too much too soon?
You know, and I know Kenny, and I've watched, I haven't seen a game, I haven't seen one play in the last 2 weeks. I don't have time to watch Sunday football, unfortunately, but I was fortunate enough to take the whole team to see the first preseason game, and he looked like $1 million. I don't think there's any question he's ready. I think they're looking for some maturity right now and seeing how things go. But, Mitch is a great quarterback and he'll be fine. And again, Kenny's going to be fine when he's ready. He's ready when they say, Kenny, it's your turn. And again, his opportunity will come at some point. You know how this game is played, just like Nate Yarnell's time came. When he's ready, I think everybody will see that he'll embrace that and do a nice job for him.
Appreciate your thoughts there. Pat, you're looking ahead to Rhode Island, but I want to ask you to take one look back. That emotional win over West Virginia in a tremendous game to start the year, what a wild finish that was. And that marked the return of the backyard brawl in front of 70,000 fans, which set a record for largest attendance in Pittsburgh sports history. You've been around the game your entire life. You're a coach's son. But have you ever experienced a better atmosphere than the one you had versus West Virginia?
It was really darn good. I've seen a few of them, but, I'd say it's in the top five for sure. Our Panther Pit did a heck of a job, our student section. It's amazing. I've seen a lot of, student sections, but that's got to be one of the top I've ever seen. Just student sections, especially for, school that has, probably 17,000 undergrads. I think we had, 16,999 that came. I think there was one person didn't show up, so I'm not sure who it was, but I'm going to try to, track that guy or that gal down.
You got to, Pat. Now, you played linebacker in college at Rhode Island, then you went back to your alma mater to serve as an assistant coach. I know every summer you like to go back there on vacation, all of that. So how gratifying is it to schedule this matchup with Rhode Island, which gives your team a solid non-conference test, and it gives the Rams some much-needed national exposure?
Yeah, no doubt. It's I've gotten a lot of calls here in the last probably 2 months of people coming up for the game and Jim, they got to understand I'm still a competitor. I'm not giving out free tickets for you to come watch your team. That you want to, you can't root against us, right? So as much as I'd like to give them a free ticket, they are getting free tickets. They're going to pay for their own tickets, but it's awful nice for them to schedule us and us to schedule them. Brings them in here, bring back some old memories and I think as a coach, you never forget where you came from. And, again, I learned a lot from Bob Griffin as a player under Bob Griffin, the old head coach there, and his entire staff, and then coaching there. So I know where they come from, and it's a good football program. And, I give back to the university in the off season, and it's just something that is good to give to him during the season as well.
Yeah, Pat, I don't think anybody's going to question whether or not you're still a competitor. In fact, when you played there, let me ask it this way. As a coach's son, and you were always that intense, always that driven, what were you like as a player? How would you, knowing what you know now as a coach, how would you evaluate yourself as a player?
You know, I was a coach's kid, so I was probably just a slow guy that made plays because I knew where I was supposed to go and knew what the other team was doing. Studied a lot of videotape, I was a good 1AA football player.
Hey, Pat, I think you're being humble, but I get it. Not only did you study a lot of videotape, the story goes you actually had an 8mm projector in your dorm room. Is that true? And where did you get that? And did any of your teammates roll like that?
Yeah, none of my teammates rolled like that. Only a coach's kid could get a camera like that, you know? So we had extra ones, you know. We always had one at the house. You know, my dad used to be on Sunday mornings when he's head coach at Youngstown State, would have the staff over for donuts and coffee and breakfast at our house, and they would sit in the living room and have that thing projected on the living room wall and, you know, just kind of in a relaxing, different atmosphere. So my dad could be home with his family, but again, get his work done. So we always had one around, and I just kind of snuck that one into my dorm room, so I had some stuff to, you know, every night before I left the coach's office at Rhode Island, I'd grab one reel, and I'd watch it that night, and then the next day get another one.
Probably was the best time ever. It was preordained. There was no way you were not going to be a coach. He is the head football coach of Pittsburgh, 55-38, as I mentioned. They're 2-1. They're coming off that win over Western Michigan and another big one against Rhode Island on Saturday. Pat, always appreciate the energy, appreciate the friendship, and always good to have you on the show. Pat, good luck.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you having me on, and hail to Pitt.
You got it. Hail to Pitt. Hail to Pitt. Pat Narduzzi, intense and competitive, and as always, doing a great, great job at Pittsburgh. All right, so we'll go back to back. If you want to react to that, you go right ahead. If you want to wait, believe it or not, we're talking more App State football. I'm not sure any program has had the start to the season, the roller coaster ride that App State's had. We'll get into that. Their quarterback, Chase Bryce, who started and was on the starting end of that unbelievable Hail Mary this past weekend. Also, of course, they had their great win at Texas A&M. The incredible loss to North Carolina. App State's done all of that already this season. That's coming up next. And then in the middle of next hour, the beef segment. So officially now you're on the clock. You want to call with your beef. You want to tweet your beef. You want to email your beef. And you want to do it right now. Stay tuned. Second hour is next.